Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. And with me today, I have Leanne the Barefoot Medium, all the way from Brisbane, Australia. Leanne is a gifted and highly sought after international medium, twin flame connector and transformational coach, who is blessed to connect people from all over the world with their loved ones who have passed over. And she brings her honest and compassionate personality to providing people with clarity, guidance and encouragement to help them connect with spirit and the universe. She also helps them come into union with their twin flame and manifest what their soul needs, wants and desires are in life. In today's episode, we'll be discussing letting go of the victim mindset and embracing the higher perspective, shifting from turmoil to triumph, healing from heartache and trauma, and finding the light within, as well as transforming obstacles and challenges to step into your purpose and passion. And here is lovely Leanne Barefoot, medium all the way from Brisbane, Australia. Oh my goodness. Hey.
Hi everyone.
I'm saying oh my goodness because of the time difference between myself and you. My day's just beginning, yours is just ending.
It is indeed.
Oh, but thank you so much for joining me today. And I know we've been trying to connect for quite some time and I'm so glad that we have, because I'm looking forward to finding out about yourself and, you know, what the Barefoot Medium is and, you know, what it is that led you on this amazing journey of spirituality that you're on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I guess what you call me is a natural medium. I came into the world connected to spirit. I would see, hear, feel, and know that spirit people were around me, loved ones who've passed over, and would be really quite sensitive to the energies of other people, loved ones around me as well. So I would often pick up on how people were feeling and their physical pains, illnesses or things that might have been going on within their world, for those that were living and for those that had passed, how they passed over and information that they wanted to pass on to their loved ones. Oh. So I came into the world as a sensitive soul. Yeah. Into a family that has no idea about spirit. So
okay.
I got thrown smack bang in the middle of a family who I would say there's people in my room, I can't sleep. No, there's not, go back to bed. And I'd often sleep with the sheets up to try and protect myself, or because I did see them, I did feel them, I did know they were there. Yeah. And it wasn't really until I was older and further along in my journey that I really understood what that meant and how to work with and communicate with those that had passed over, and that was really a part of what I'm here to do, and my purpose and my path is to reconnect those with people who've passed over.
Wow. And you're also a twin flame connector, right? And is that when you, so obviously to us, a twin flame is, you know, your partner who you are meant to be with in the whole of the universe.
I think there's a lot of information out there about twin flames, and some of which is not quite accurate. As someone who has been in relationships, both healthy and unhealthy, toxic and beautiful and amazing. Yeah. I have had my fair share of soulmate relationships and karmic relationships, which are there to help us clear and heal and let go of patterns and things from our past, whether it's past for ourselves or things that we've learnt along the way. And a twin flame is really a higher level of soulmate connection or connection, where we are both drawn together to do our spiritual work and to serve humanity in some way. So there can be a romantic connection.
Right.
There can be that karmic element to a twin flame connection. And there is also a purpose. You are meant to do work together. You are meant to uplift humanity. You are meant to come in and create change and transformation that will serve a lot of others. And so twin flame relationships are often idealized, yet they can be incredibly traumatic. And that's a word that I will use given the topic of your podcast show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can put people into victim mode. Wow. As well, because they're often searching for that one person that's going to change and fix everything.
Yeah, I know. Right? And the thing is as well, it's, you know, the media, you see it in magazines, you know, how to find the partner for you. And it's just so instilled into us that, oh my God, I need to find the one, I need to find my soulmate, my twin flame. So much pressure, right?
There is.
Yeah.
And really my role as a twin flame connector is to help you, whoever comes to me for that support, to clear, heal, shift and transform whatever it is within them that's blocking their ability to manifest, create or stay in a healthy, loving relationship.
Oh, wow.
So that's really what my role is with that.
Okay. And it's interesting that you said about, you know, yourself being in toxic relationships. And I know that, you know, a lot of my listeners have probably been in toxic relationships or they might currently be in one. So what was it with yourself? Like, was it your intuition that helped to guide you away from these people?
Oh, gosh, I think so in amongst it. Mm. It was certainly what I would say to people, it was a path I had to walk in order to learn and grow for my own soul and to get my own awareness and to be able to step into the work that I do now with women and men.
Yeah.
I guess when I learnt a lot more about who I was and what I needed, and I think that's really key. We often don't know what we need because we're told if we ask ourselves that or put ourselves first that it's selfish.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me it was the part that I played in those toxic relationships, because we can't have toxic relationships without two parties playing a part.
True. We don't see it like that, do we?
And so, you know, while my previous partners, one of which I'm thinking of in particular, was very emotionally, mentally unavailable and had some abuse in his history, and so there was a whole world of stuff there for him to heal and move through that he just didn't know how to unpack. And that led to a lot of toxic, unhealthy patterns of behavior. And I was the rescuer. I was going to fix and heal and, you know, give and give and give and give and chase. And, you know, he just wasn't available. And I was.
Yeah.
And I was being overly available. So, you know, I had to really look at my own toxic patterns within that and going, how am I being the rescuer?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you obviously had a need which wasn't being fulfilled. So it's just making you a lot more desperate to have that need fulfilled. And then So what was the learning behind that? What did you figure out in the end?
Well, I figured out what I needed and what was frustrating me within that relationship was you know, what my soul was asking me for. And it was to listen to me and to know that it was okay, that part of me feeling loved and supported and held by a partner is to have someone that's willing to sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And to hear me and to allow me the space to express emotions. I'm an empath. I'm a medium. I'm sensitive. I cannot be within this world without expressing emotion. And that was one thing that with an emotionally unavailable man, he just ran.
Oh,
and so for me, I learned that I needed to express. And if I didn't express, I wasn't healthy within me. And so, you know, my now partner, my beautiful, amazing partner now holds that space beautifully, knows that if I'm upset or sad or frustrated, it's okay. It's just an emotion for me to move through and that I've got it and that I can do it.
Yeah.
And if I need support, I'll ask him for it.
Brilliant. Oh, wow. And I think that again, that's a common problem where, you know, people, women, men even, I think men are worse than women, in fact, just not able to express their emotions or, you know, tell people how they feel. And it's just about having to communicate. And I know a lot of people lack that ability down to their own issues of maybe insecurity or, you know, not feeling confident or worthy enough. So it can get quite deep. Really, can't it, when you think about it?
It can. And I think, you know, you've mentioned a really key thing is communication, because, you know, while we're taught to communicate as children, as we grow, we're often not taught in our everyday lives to communicate in healthy, loving relationships. And that it's okay to give voice to or speak up about something that feels good for you or something that doesn't. And the one thing that I learned along my journey was, A, what do I need and how do I need to receive and give love in order for me to feel healthy and well and clear and centered and grounded and all of those things, was also about boundaries. Boundaries of self-love that say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not okay with this. This doesn't feel right for me. And it kind of brings me back to that intuition point that you mentioned with boundaries. It's all about listening to your gut and listening to your inner knowing and your, you know, those little subtle cues that go, it doesn't quite sound right, feel right, or look right to me.
Yeah.
If it feels off, it is off. Energy doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And what I learned was what I did was I had that intuition. I had that knowing that something was off and I would overstep it.
Ooh, okay.
And I would ignore it.
Yeah.
Because I want, and you mentioned desperation, I wanted that relationship and that person to be in my world so much that I developed that codependence pattern that sits there as well. And I just kept overstepping my own needs and pushing them away and my own boundaries in order to keep him happy.
Yes.
Didn't work so well.
No, not at all, because at the end of the day, you'll be miserable, he'll be miserable. And I guess when it comes to situations like that, the best way is to just separate, right? Distance.
Yeah. And the good thing is my partner now, we've got this beautiful open communication where we can both say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with that, or that's not okay for me. And it's not taken personally.
Yeah.
It's just a, here's what it is for me. Or if I'm someone who needs my own space in order to re-energize, because I work with energy so much. So I have a people-free day every Sunday.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And he has something similar. So
brilliant.
If he's got stuff going on that he needs to work through, he'll often say to me, I'm having a people-free day. And I'll go, okay, see you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, I love that.
And it's okay to do that. And I think we, you know, for a lot of women in particular, if their partner, if their man, and I'm talking men in that context, says that they need space, they automatically go into insecurity and what did I do wrong and what
Yeah.
And so if it brings that up for you, that's yours to work through. That's yours to heal.
It is.
And if you're confident within you and within your connection with your partner, you'll be able to allow them the freedom to do what they need so that they can gift you the freedom in return.
Totally. And that takes a lot of courage and a lot of power. Yeah, God. And again, I can totally relate to those feelings of insecurity because you just think it's you. You think it's because, oh, he doesn't like me. You know, and it's like, no, he just needs his space. Give him some space. Let him breathe.
I think that's, you know, a really good point. Let him breathe. And I think often, and I'm saying this, it's not all women, but often many women, we have this biological need that often drives our desires for a partner to come in and help us create family, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that often puts a time limit or a pressure on finding that person, and it's like a search and a, rather than a sitting back and a surrendering and having fun and playing and being all of who you are and letting that come to you.
Yeah.
There's a real difference with that because we attract and manifest in a partner for us when we're in a space of joy and love and happiness.
Yeah. Yes. That is so true. And I know a lot of us who have had childhood trauma, you know, it's not obviously that story, and it can take a while to actually heal, to actually get to that place of joy and fulfillment. Do you find that a lot of, you know, toxic relationships that develop, the neediness that develops, do you think a lot of that does stem from childhood trauma?
Yeah, absolutely. Often comes back to those abandonment and betrayal wounds, doesn't it?
It does,
whatever way, shape or form that comes up, whether it's, you know, I have a friend and a client who's moving through this at the moment with a separation, and her 10-year-old daughter, her ex-husband is not making the time for her 10-year-old daughter. So the 10-year-old is now working through those patterns of, he doesn't want me, he doesn't, you know, so it's all that worthiness and abandonment, and he left and he did this, like, so there's anger and hurt and pain and sadness and grief and loss that comes up with that. And then there's trauma around, you may have a beautiful, healthy family environment,
yeah,
yet one parent is emotionally or mentally unavailable.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whether it's through drinking or drugs or their own traumas that might be playing out, you know, or sexual traumas that some people have experienced, which is really challenging to, you know, be brave and have the courage to really look at and to, you know, dig into and see what. And it sounds really, really weird to say what gift and what opportunity comes from those beautiful experiences that might have been hard and challenging and
at the time, yeah,
traumatic. And they are.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're not okay, some of them. And it's not okay, some of what people have experienced. And that comes back to boundaries, right?
It does, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm all for that, about just trying to see what was it, you know, why did that happen to me, and, you know, what is the growth of opportunity from that as well? You know, what have I gained from that? And a lot of, like, for myself personally, it was courage and confidence and my inner power, you know, just understanding, you know, that I am truly valued and respected, because that's what's taken away from us when we do undergo sexual abuse or any form of betrayal as a child.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to be aware of, is that we can, well, people have experienced that type of trauma or abuse in childhood. Give yourself the credit for the fact that you're a child and that that wasn't your responsibility, and that, you know, whether it was an adult or whoever was in that other role in that abuse situation, the responsibility lay there. The choice and the decision lay there. And as a child, we, you know, don't have that capacity sometimes to really have that awareness of, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not responsible. This other person or this other being chose to do that and made a decision to do that. And I'm completely and utterly innocent. And you can really claim back from an energetic perspective that that sense of innocence at any point in time. Because it's there just to kind of reach up and go, you know what, I can have this switch of mindset. I can switch my thoughts to, you know what, no, I'm going to give all of that back and put it exactly where it needs to be and put that responsibility exactly where it needs to be and have the courage to choose. Have the courage to choose for yourself as an adult, if that's where you're at the moment, to know that you're safe, that you're innocent, that you're supported, that you're loved, that you're worthy just exactly as you are.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I was going to say, like, in your work, and then, you know, the name that you have for your organisation, the Barefoot Medium, the barefoot hasn't come by chance, has it? It'd be great for you to give us, you know, the kind of reasoning behind barefoot, because from what I've read, it sounds quite astonishing.
Yeah. So it came up quite some time ago, and I did quite a lot of work with large groups of people and connecting people with loved ones who've passed over. And one of the things that I worked out is that I needed a little bit of an on and off switch with the spirit people so that I could get a break and I could live somewhat of a normal life, I guess you'd say, and experience that as well as being able to connect with those loved ones that had passed over. And so when I did some of my group work or my stage work, I would walk in with shoes on and then take them off in order to start work.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that was one of the on and off switch for spirit. It's also a part of, you know, I've learned very early on in my life to have a very strong connection with the earth and the land. And I love learning about different cultures and the indigenous cultures as well. You know, and I've worked with the indigenous in South America in particular, in Colombia, and learned all about their beliefs around our feet being designed to press against the earth. They're our connection to everything that is.
Yeah,
to Pachamama, to Earth, to Mother.
Yeah.
Our feet allow us to be present in the moment and feel the energy shifts and the transformations and what's coming, what's about to manifest and be birthed.
Yeah.
And so our feet allow us to feel that through our connection with the Earth if we're attuned to it. Okay. So I do all my work barefoot and really, you know, feel that energy of the earth and the shifts and the changes that are coming up as well. Yeah.
But
that's how Barefoot Medium got birthed into the world.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've never met a medium who does their work barefoot. I think that's such a fantastic explanation behind it. And so many of us, you know, we feel so good and grounded when we just go out onto the fields and take our socks and shoes off and just connect to the earth. So it does. There's something so healing in that.
It is. And, you know, when you connect to the spirit world and to those that have passed over or those higher energies, you have to be really grounded and present so that you can hear, see, feel, and recognize those messages that are coming through. And if we're not, and we're all over the place, we'll miss those messages and those energies and, you know, kind of be off with the fairies, like that saying is, right?
So true, yeah. And I guess that was me all over until I actually learned to be grounded and to be settled. Because, yeah, I guess when you're off with the fairies, a lot of the times it's because you're not present and you might be trying to running away from something.
And that's a really good point, because people who have experienced trauma or abuse at some point in their life, often to cope and to feel safe from an energetic perspective, it's almost like the soul leaves the body. So that you don't physically, mentally, emotionally experience that. And so sometimes, and I'm going to use the word victims, but that's not the word that I see it as. Those who've experienced abuse or trauma often leave their body and they're not grounded, because if they ground, they need to feel it.
Yes. True.
And so that's the escape. And so often with clients that I've worked with that have experienced trauma and abuse in their past, it's about actually getting them to come back into their body enough to be able to actually feel their body and to actually know what their emotions are often.
Okay.
And to know how their body feels and what feels good for them, what feels not so good for them, what they need. And so it's about reconnecting and grounding them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're also a coach as well, aren't you? Transformational coach. Yeah. So do you do a lot of healing in that as well? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I bring in a lot of the work that I work with spirit to do the coaching work.
Okay.
And I bring in a lot of the tools and techniques that I've learned from the Indigenous peoples.
Nice. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what like from your experience so far, what is it that normally has to shift in order to go from, you know, being traumatized to actually go to triumph?
Usually, so I work with a lot of people around emotions. And okay. So the biggest emotion I would say is anger.
Wow. Okay. So is that anger for the other person or anger with themselves?
Both. So it will often start as blame or frustration or sadness or hurt or just going around in circles. So it may start and be recognized as one thing. However, underneath it is really just anger. Why did this happen to me? Why was it me? Why not someone else? Why did I have to experience this? Now it's affected all of my life and I can't get rid of it and I can't do this and I can't do that. There's a whole victim story that plays out underneath it. And so it's often about allowing the space for people to share their story and to be heard. And to really listen for what those beliefs and emotions are underneath it that need shifting and clearing. And it's often anger or blame or shame.
I was going to say shame and guilt are quite, you know, up there when it comes to people trying to recover because they just feel guilty for whatever's happened and so shameful as well.
Yeah, I think shame is a really big one. And shame, I often, you know, Brené Brown is amazing around shame. I love her work. And she talks about making, you know, we often re-traumatize ourselves when we share our story with people who cannot hold our shame.
Wow, yes, okay.
Because we often assume that everybody can hear our story and hold us in empathy and compassion and kindness and support us. And yet some people just can't. It's not because they don't want to. They just don't know how.
Yeah.
And so when we share our story with the wrong people, we can re-traumatize ourselves and hold ourselves in our shame.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's so true.
And when we find the right person who can hold our shame and can hear it and can lift us through it or support us through it, that is incredibly transformational in itself, because often a survivor of abuse or trauma in some way, shape or form really often just needs to be heard and held and seen and loved.
Absolutely. And it just takes that one person to believe in you, to care for you, in order for you to make that change or to start to make that change. And you're right. And again, I think many of us, we just spend so much of our lives attracting, you know, the wrong people into our lives, because it's just the energy that we're expending. And so, and again, I'm just talking from experience as well, that I spent many years just talking to the wrong people about it and just feeling even more ashamed of myself, thinking, oh, it's all my fault, I'm such a failure, such a loser. It's awful.
And I think that's really important for people to be aware of, is that if you feel wrong or disempowered, or like your story is not heard or not seen, or whatever that might be, it's really important for you to step back and really ask yourself, am I surrounding myself with the right people who can support me and uplift me and build my confidence and help me grow and learn and be whoever it is that I want to be in this world? Because if you're surrounding yourself by people who want to keep you where you are, then you're going to stay exactly where you are, because it serves them and it's good and right for them. It may not be good and right for you.
Yes, yes. And so obviously once, you know, a lot of the time it takes like someone to go to a therapist or a healer even. It's just that one person who is qualified enough to hear you out and to help you through. So what happens then? So you mentioned about, you know, that you'll go into the emotions and you'll get rid of the anger and, you know, all these horrible feelings that have been traumatizing a person even more. So what's the next step then in order for them to achieve, you know, enlightenment, fulfillment, find their purpose and passion?
Yeah. Well, I think that in amongst that process of acknowledging their story and really feeling the emotions that are there, because we can't heal if we don't feel. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. They don't want to feel anger because we've been told, for example, anger's wrong, whereas it's actually just an emotion that we can move through our body. And when we learn to move it through our body, through our breath, we can transform and feel lighter. And then we can step into, okay, that was my story. That was my experience. That's okay. Great. I wonder what was right about that. What was good about that? What was the opportunity or gift in that experience for me? What did I learn from it? And then stepping into, and what now?
Yeah. And I think, a lot of what you've said, it goes through that phase of, first of all, you have to accept what happened to you in order to forgive and to move on.
Yeah.
Exactly, in that process, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I think often people, you know, just in general say to us, you know, move on, get over it, you know, flippantly. And yet someone's still within their healing and still processing whatever it is that's been going on or playing out for them. They might sit in it for a week or a month or a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or however long, and they may never move out of that. And that's okay. We need to be okay with that. And sometimes we're uncomfortable with someone sitting in victim mode or whatever that might be, or trauma or grief or shame or anger or hurt or sadness or whatever. And I think we need to be comfortable with wherever someone's at first and foremost, and be okay with it and accept it and love it and trust that they'll move through it if they're meant to. If they're meant to.
Okay.
Because some people are not meant to move out of that victim mode from a soul level. They'll just sit in it. And yet others will step above it and will do the work, because it takes work. It takes courage. It takes a willingness. It takes time. It takes energy. And if you're not willing to do that work, then you're going to stay where you are.
What is it that makes people not want to do the work and not want to move on?
Comfort.
Okay. Comfort zone. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Procrastination.
Yeah. There's lots of those things. I think comfort's the really big one. Fear of change. Mm-hmm. Because Okay. Who am I without this? You know, there are a lot of people who own the abuse. I am the abuse, or I am the trauma, or I am the thing that happened to me. It's not you, it's an experience that you had. And there's a difference. And when we hold on to something and keep it within our energy, within our space, we're embracing it, we're hugging it, we're keeping it. And so we're often comfortable with it. And so then the question becomes, what is it that you're actually comfortable with? And how is it serving you to stay comfortable with it?
I think it's just familiarity and just scared of change. Yeah. The fear of the unknowing.
And fear is a huge one. If I let this go, this thing that I've been carrying for however long, who will I be? How will I be in the world? And how will my relationships change? And, you know, that's another big part of the fear, is speaking up and voicing and taking action often around abuse or trauma or whatever. It can have those other effects of judgment and, you know, losing relationships and grief and loss along with it. And so there's fallout that often people become fearful of. I don't know what my life will look like without this. And so I'll just stay where I am because it's easier. Because it is easier.
Yeah. It's easier, but it's also painful as well.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And then there's the flip side of people going, you know what, this isn't the life that I want for myself. And they're willing to put on those, you know, they don't need to know how to do it. It's just that one word, I'm willing.
Okay.
And to let your intuition and guide, source, universe, whoever it is you believe in, to show you how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's often another one, is I don't know how to let go. I don't know how. I don't know this. I don't know.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And so you don't need to know how. You just need to be willing to let go.
Okay. Just to have that desire, that willingness to try something new. Just, you know, try some Reiki. Go see your medium. Do you do sessions online, by the way?
Yes,
oh, okay. Yeah. So I suppose, again, it just opens up, you know, to people to actually do this online, because a lot of people think that they have to be they're in present to actually have a reading or, you know.
Spirit is not, you know, physically seen in a space. Yeah. So it's actually exactly the same. And, you know, it's actually often a lot easier to do readings online, because clients are in the comfort of their own home and in a space they feel safe. And
so
we can really go into what's there for people.
Oh, okay. That is interesting. Right. So it's all about just, you know, having that urgency or that desire to want to change, and then we can all change, because it's like a flip in your brain that, you know, it'll just switch, and then suddenly, instead of being in that fixed mindset zone, you'll then want to grow, and, you know, you'll then want to flourish, and like, this is your words, finding the light within. I love that. Because we are, you know, we are all light. And I think when you undergo some trauma, you know, some negative experiences that we might undergo as well, sometimes that light dimmers, and it's about just finding that light again.
And I think the important thing to remember is the darkness cannot exist without the light, and the light cannot exist without the darkness. So neither is good nor bad, they just are. And sometimes we take a dip into that darkness or that fear or that negative, and then we come back out. So sometimes it's a little bit of a roller coaster, and, you know, we have some slips and we have some slides and we have some fun along the way. So I often say to people, it's a journey. It's an adventure. I wonder, and wonder is a really another really powerful thing to work with, is, you know, I wonder what my new life would look like if I let this go. I wonder what tomorrow will bring. I wonder how amazing, you know, I would feel if I let this go. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder.
Okay. Wow, that's been a real enlightening discussion. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, please do let us know about yourself. Obviously, you carry your sessions online, which is fantastic. And I suppose, you know, when you do your barefoot medium stuff, then you're obviously barefoot, aren't you, at home? And then, that's fantastic. Just want to know.
I came into the world without shoes. I'll go out without them.
Have you got your shoes off now, by the way? Oh, are they? Yeah. Oh, okay. So you are connecting with spirit now, then?
Yeah. I do all my work that way.
Yeah. Oh. Have there been any messages come through whilst we've been?
So everything that I'm bringing through is what spirit's guiding me to share. So, you know, when I connect in with a podcast or a show, or I'll connect in with what your listeners might need to hear and what insights need to be shared. So.
Okay, so you're guided anyway. Okay,
yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh wow. And so, how can my listeners find you if they have any questions or would like to work with you?
Sure, they can find me on my website, thebarefootmedium.com.au, or through Facebook and Instagram and all of those social media places. Leanne, the Barefoot Medium, or the Barefoot Medium.
Perfect. Brilliant. And I will be adding the links onto this talk so that you can contact Leanne if you have any questions about this episode and about the work that she does, fantastic work that she does. And remember, you know, if you want to change, then it's all down to you, my friends.
Yeah.
Wow. Just want to know as well, from your own experiences so far, Leanne, what's been your biggest learning so far?
Oh, goodness, there's been a lot. My biggest learning so far is to be me, and the right people will love me and accept me exactly as I am. Those who don't are not my people.
They're not your tribe.
And that's okay.
Toodaloo. Yeah.
And that's totally okay. And so it's been about learning to just be and enjoy and follow my joy.
Fantastic. Oh, I love that. Oh, thank you. Yes. And I can see that you are following your joy. I can just feel the energy.
Oh, thank you.
Your abundant ray of light.
Oh, thank you.
Keep shining it, girl. You're doing fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And again, it's been such an honor having you on and for sharing your insights, obviously guided insights from the higher force. And I hope listeners, you've all enjoyed this show and just hearing more about, you know, the mindset of healing and also how you don't need to be in that victim mentality any longer. So, you know, we can all change, we can all grow, and we can all heal. So now's the time to. So let's begin. Okay, so I will see you all in the next episode. Until then, my dear sisters and brothers, I will leave you and stay loved, stay empowered, and stay blessed. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next and share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.